The definition of aggregation would be expanded from the current test, which provides that theft offenses may be aggregated if they're part of the same transaction, to a broader test, which would require that the incidents involve the same victim and are committed in the same manner. There are a number of problems with that type of approach. It restricts the prosecution from doing what they could do now, where there are different victims, where it's the same transaction. It expands it to a situation which would allow several different offenses over different years in different places to be charged together in one prosecution. It also leaves the prosecutors open to claims of statutory jeopardy. And statutory jeopardy is a process by which, if a prosecutor has knowledge of different criminal acts at one time in one place and could have charged them together in one charging instrument, if the district attorney chooses not to do so and prosecutes one and not the other, they cannot later charge the second, or at least they're open to a motion on those jeopardy grounds. The expansion of the aggregation would at least leave the prosecutors open if they could have charged several or several more in one instrument, but chose for one reason or not to charge it. They then would be foreclosed from charging it later on.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to look. I want to try to get a fix on the original bill as introduced and the fact that the section in question has been added by the House as amendments. Okay, I get it.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, only
yes,
a
Senator
concern.
Hammond.
If I heard your motion correctly, or counsel's correctly, line 37 through 44 would be deleted.
The whole section is deleted because
the
when you, yeah, because the rest of it. The rest of it's existing law, so if you delete the whole section, why the existing law remains intact.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fine. I follow you then.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my memo reads delete lines 37 to 44.
Right.
Actually, it should be 37 to 42.
Yes, that's
that incorporates subsection 1 of section 7, and that's the aggregation language.
That's what I wanted to clarify, and not lines 43 and 44.
Well, no, what we're doing is, in other words,
we just want the new language.
We're deleting the new language, but, you know, the effect of deleting Section 7 is to delete the new language because the old language stays there, right?
Mr. Chair, there is other language in Section 7 that restates existing law.
It's true.
We're getting this.
We don't want to delete the entire Section 7. Well, we could delete the entire section. Well,
yes,
yeah,
that's what right. If we delete the entire section 7, we've deleted the new language.
That's right.
And of all the present law that's recited there remains. Okay? All right.
Sorry.
Any objection
that.
To that?
Tracking.
No.
All right, so ordered. And the chair will move House Bill 2552-8. Senator Clark.
Well, there was one other thing we discussed that I don't have a burning ambition about, but I kind of like this Class B felony, even though it's creating a new crime, because I sort of agree with the DAs that if somebody has really bilked a lot of money from a widow or somebody, even a 21-year-old widow, not trying to get back to the age business again, but I'm a little wondering if we want to generate the cost to the system for automobiles that are stolen and are worth more than $10,000 and have my car be less of less defended by the system than somebody who's got a Maserati. There are a lot of cars running around now that are worth more than $10,000. And there's a huge number of stolen car reports right now. If there is much of an increased prosecution cost for Class B felonies over A's, which somebody was saying they were going to find out more about when we had the hearing, and I don't know if Mr. Linden or anybody got back to counsel about that, but I don't want to raise that $10,000 and leave vulnerable people unprotected, but on the other hand, I don't want to raise the cost of chasing automobiles. Because having one of our family's two cars stolen recently, I know a little more from firsthand just how many of those are being churned through the system.
So do you have a suggestion, Mr. Chairman?
Well, I was thinking, I was wondering if we could put $10,000 with the exception of motor vehicles or something like that, and leave them Class C felons.
Sure.
That's what I had in mind.
What is the penalty for unauthorized use of a motor vehicle? Is that a class?
That's a Class C felony.
Class C felony
also. Yeah.
See, and that is certainly something that the thief would be charged with. I assume in addition to the theft of the vehicle.
I think if you straight steal the car, they don't charge you unauthorized use, because unauthorized use, one of the elements of that is the absence of the element of never intending to return it. Permanent deprivation. But I'm just wondering, I don't know if anybody got back to Mark, but I'm just wondering if we want to have a Class B felony charge for a car that's worth $11,000 when there are so many of those. But the thing I don't know is, do they spend more money prosecuting and defending with indigent defense Class B felonies? If they don't, then I don't care.
I believe the testimony, Mr. Chair, Senator Juarez, members of the committee, was that, at least for the contract to Metropolitan Public Defender, that under the last contract, no, they didn't receive any differential between a C and a B. But as I recall the testimony, it was, who knows what's going to happen in terms of the new contract.
Now that you're reminding me of that testimony, I think maybe they said something about they were perhaps going to ask for more for Bs. Linden was here and he just left. Could I move conceptually that we have language to say with the exception of automobiles? You wouldn't want to say all motor vehicles, because somebody might steal a huge, they stole a $100,000
charge or a.
What do you want to, do you want to, if they steal a $50,000 car, if they steal a $50,000 car, then under this bill here, it's a Class B felony, right?
Yeah, and we're going to have the higher defense costs.
And so, and what are you trying to do, make it a Class
C? Keep it what it is now.
Keep it as C.
Class C.
Keep it as a Class C felony.
If you have a $50,000 car. A car is a car.
$1,000 pickup with a camper on it.
Just accept automobiles.
Yeah. Accept automobiles from Class B and leave them as Class Cs.
Not handy-dandy vans, pickups.
Yeah. Vans, pickups.
You're including them.
They could be. They should be included.
You're going to.
But not somebody stealing a semi truck that's worth $50,000.
I wonder if. There might be a way to put that in, maybe in some other different spot in this bill here. I don't know. Maybe we can.
I hate to slow the bill up, but I think this is a cost to the system.
You can state that in concept, Senator, and we can adopt it. We'll have council work on
it. I would move that we exempt. Automobiles used for personal use, motor vehicles used for personal use, from the Class B felony treatment in Section 5, so they stay in Class C felony.
That concept, is there any objection to that concept being incorporated? Okay, well, that's so ordered then, and council will work that out, and we'll... I'll ask council if it can be worked out by what day is today? I guess, well,
we could bring it back Tuesday.
I guess we'll have to. All right, we'll see what we can do on a Tuesday. With that additional amendment, then the chair will move House Bill 2552A engrossed.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Hamby.
I think, in all due recognition of my colleague there from Eastern Oregon, he would very much like the committee to consider the inclusion of Yama.
I was just about to make that.
On lines 10 and 11.
Call that.
Oh, yeah.
On page 2.
In its appropriate place. Because I don't remember where.
In the appropriate sequence.
Yes, because I don't remember where they stuck it in the bill.
Or steer, or.
But it would save them time, because.
You'd want to say domestic Yama, though, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just say Yama, because aren't there some wild ones?
No, the bill just says Yama. Not in this country, there aren't any wild ones.
There aren't any wild ones in the zoos or any place?
Well, I think that's probably the last place you'd find a wild one.
All right. Well, I don't have any problem.
As long as the bill's going to have to go back to print shop.
Yeah, it would save them some time. I just.
Any objection to that?
No.
All right, we'll add that in there.
Yama?
Well, he calls it Yama. The rest of us call it Llama.
They call them Yamas in Peru. The guy that owns them all calls them Yamas. That's okay by me.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Counsel.
If I could get some clarification from the committee, the way I understand, maybe I need some clarification from Senator Wires, that if a person steals a car, like in the unauthorized use of a vehicle situation, doesn't matter whether the car is a $2,000 Volkswagen or $12,000 Cadillac, it's going to be treated as a Class C felony. Well, I guess where I need clarification is to the extent that someone takes a vehicle or steals a vehicle in other than the unauthorized use of a vehicle context, hijacking, obtaining by fraud or deception, there are lots of ways to steal. Unauthorized use of a vehicle talks about one way to steal, and the way it's defined is takes, operates, exercises control, rides in, or otherwise uses. That's the way I understand the way the committee wants the exception to be. You can defraud someone and get a vehicle. There are other ways to get a vehicle. You can hijack a truck carrying vehicles and steal them.
Directed at personal vehicles.
We could just leave it in except for vehicles, and that would be broad. I'm not sure whether it would result in some problems later on.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Cohen.
For my own personal personal
preference.
Rationale, yes, I think most of the instances are dealing with unauthorized use, and even if we just referenced that statute, that would be fine. If you stole somebody's car by fraud, I'm willing to, you know, I'm not worried so much about capturing every one of those somehow. But I think we've got to do it as streamlined of a manner as we can within the statutory construction to try to, sort of like if you're going to do a major destruction of the ORS just to capture that 1% of an individual auto that may come under this, and I don't think it's worth it.
No, I agree with that.
And so that's my suggestion to Mark in terms of if you've got to rewrite the whole thing and it comes out mush, then I'm not sure it's worth it except to just plain refer to the unauthorized use statute in those contexts.
So the way I understand the committee,
now
we're going to.
Since it's Jan's amendment, I hate to speak for him, but.
The way I understand the committee, we're going to have an exemption for motor vehicles where the primary use is for personal use. Is that right?
I thought so.
Right.
Lots of people use business cars 1 or 2 days a week, but if the primary use is personal, that's the exception we're creating.
What about a business car? I don't think we want to make that distinction.
A car that's been stolen that's only worth $11,000, a Class B.
So any motor vehicle?
Yeah. As long as it's motor vehicle that's used for passenger, sort of, that's used to get people places, not.
Any non-commercial motor vehicle?
I will submit this in writing to members on Monday
somebody,
at the latest.
Somebody in the police business could tell you how to.
I'll get the language together and put it in writing, and you'll have that on Monday. One last question. The district attorney's amendment raises a technical point. The way we've got the bill on page 1, the new theft 3, theft in the third degree, is for thefts under $50. The new theft 2 is for, basically for thefts under $500. The district attorney from Multnomah County's concern was that you could charge a $25 theft either as a theft two or as a theft three. And his proposal is contained on the first section of that amendment, is that the theft in the second degree is within the range of $50 to $500 or $50 to $200 where it's by receiving. And that would specifically make clear that any theft under $50 is and must be charged as a theft three. Now, I'm not sure this is really a problem. I just got this amendment at 3 o'clock. What I'd ask is leave of the committee to consult with legislative counsel, and if legislative counsel agrees that this needs to be clarified, to do so in the concept proposed by the district attorney.
Chairman?
Yes, Senator Cohen.
Can I also ask Mark to double-check with Jack Beatty and the criminal justice counsel people if you're proposing any?
Any objection to that? I mean, we know what our objective is. I guess it's a matter of saying it in the right way. Okay. Well, then the chair's motion is to move House Bill 2552 as amended, mostly clearly, slightly in concept, to the floor, do pass. And now, wait a minute. Yeah, that's what we're going to take a look at this language when the council gets it done, okay? Any discussion on that? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Want to vote, Jim, on this or not? Did you want to vote? No.
On the theft bill 2552 as amended.
Aye.
That's about as much as I
make any difference. Okay. Well, let's see.
Pass, you didn't announce the vote. You didn't say whether it passed or not.
Oh, if I didn't, it did carry.
What was the vote, Chair?
I think it was unanimous.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to 2301.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, you're probably familiar with this bill. It's the Oregon State Bar's Unauthorized Practice of Law bill. Representative Beria has presented an amendment to the committee, which is designated as Dash 7, which basically provides a specific prohibition for persons engaging as immigration, improperly engaging as immigration consultants. There is also various amendments proposed during the course of testimony by opponents of the bill. One by Mr. Ackerman, attached to his letter of May 19th. The committee should be aware that the bill was amended by the House, so the bill is, in essence, what's on the House amendments to House Bill 2301.
See, did everybody see the letter from Mr. Reimer responding to the Oregon State Bar? He wrote it to me with, I think, copies to all the members. Is that in your file? Have you all seen that thing?
It said dated June 2nd. It wasn't, it was delivered to each member individually. I got a copy and thought, as a CC, that you had all gotten it, so I didn't make a separate copy of it.
Yeah, it was delivered to your office. It should have been.
My file doesn't have a copy of the bill or the House amendments in it.
Okay.
Is there some other file here that's got some things in
it? We can get you an extra copy of the bill and amendments.
I don't have a copy of the bill or the House amendments.
We can get you a copy of the bill, the amendments.
Let's see, and I don't have, do I have the dash seven? No, I don't have the dash seven either.
Do other members have a dash seven by Representative Berea? I'll make a copy of that.
Here, I can.
What about a... Let's get the... I guess we better make copies of this. While that's being done, we'll go to something else. Let's go to Senate Bill 454.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 454 is the bill which raises the limits in the State Tort Claims Act. They are now $300,000 per occurrence and $100,000 per person. The bill would raise that to $500,000 per occurrence and $100,000 per person unless special damages were over $100,000, in which case the total award could go up to $200,000.
This is the bill that passed both houses in the last session?
This bill passed both houses in the last session, actually fairly handily, as I recall, and was vetoed. And it's back again in exactly the same form.
Senator Hamby.
If I recall, the last time we met, we asked local government types to go out in the hall and come back with a recommendation. Do you recall?
Yes, I do recall.
Yeah. Came back with a pretty good one.
Yeah,
left us no room at all to negotiate. Did you get a copy of that letter? Is
no.
that in your file?
And that's why I'm wondering what happened.
Is it the letter on the Portland City of Portland letterhead or?
Let's see. It's,
no, I found it. Here it is. Here. Is this it?
Association.
It's got an AOC letterhead on it.
I had heard about the letter, but nothing ever came to me. So you don't have copies in your file from me.
It was kind of a rewrite of the tort law. Well, we've gone through enough of that, so I'm going to set it out here and let people vote for it up or down. Senator Hill, you have anything? I don't know what changed from 2 years ago.
Mr. Chairman, I did vote no 2 years ago.
You're consistent.
Huh?
I voted yes, and I really heard from my local.
Right.
I voted aye 2 years ago, so I would move, if you'd accept the motion, Chair, yeah. I'd move Senate Bill 454 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And Senator Wires has moved Senate Bill 454 to the floor. Do pass. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
My reluctance or resistance or non-effort at this time, it has to do with running out a bill that I'm concerned will fail out of this committee. And that I, at this stage of the session, and having prolonged debate and one more effort at doing something that is not likely to go forward. I do care about the issue, and I do ultimately support that, but we've had it sort of demonstrated to us on this very issue at least twice on the floor, and I'm worried that the heroic effort is not going to be productive even in the long run over in the House. That's my resistance or my reluctance, not that I don't care about the issue and that I'm not necessarily, but I really don't know how productive a real all-on effort is likely to be inclined to be, given what we've been through. And I think the committee's rolling along pretty good, and I worry about that. I just don't know whether the effort is worth the results or the possible results in the long run, given at this stage of session, but I, it's my sentiment. I don't want to run out something that's going to fail by 14 votes again and cause a lot of trauma.
And the reality of the other chamber is such.
General Wire, do you have any?
Well, I guess the thing about getting defeated on the floor, it's hard to get a vote count without, sometimes without having something be on the way to the floor. We could get it back without any great embarrassment if you know before the carrying speech that you don't have the votes, but I'm not eager to have a record vote on the floor.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't.
We're going to have a lot of caucuses soon because the Republicans caucus every day, and that leaves us kind of lonely. So we could probably ask our colleagues and see if more than the two perennial no's are going to be no on this, and know accordingly from that what to think.
Okay. Well. Of course, I'm a strong believer in it. I guess I just want to be recorded in committees voting yes. I do have the same fears of its eventual demise as Senator Cohen has. I realistically don't think it's got a red-hot chance, but I, you know, anything that's been on the book since 1967, where we've had a tripling of the cost of living, or the consumer price index is triple, and we're still sitting around thinking we're going to take care of people that the government injures on this kind of money. It's ridiculous, but...
Of course, Mr. Chair, a hook to a CPI might be a safer way of going about it this year. I don't know.
All right. Further discussion? Call the roll.
Brandon? No.
Brockman?
No. Aye.
Wires?
Aye.
Aye.
It fails.
Mr. Chairman, I want to give a notice on this. That this doesn't mean that I wouldn't support this in a conference committee in the tort package that comes back over.
There's a vehicle in that conference committee that we can deal through with this particular issue. That's a good idea. I'm not sure that it's going to fit in 323.
Well, all I'm saying is that...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think there is. Well, I don't.
What's related?
It shouldn't be. It's relating liability.
Oh well. Now where are we? Here? We got one more to go.
Liability
insurance.
2301.
It's 323.
Okay, we'll go back to 2301, I guess. Now, have you had a chance to read the...
relating clause question?
I don't think the problem would be the relating clause.
Right.
The problem would be the presiding officer who dealt this off before it ever got out of the Senate.
Okay, we're back at 2301. And... let's see now. This amendment that Representative Bria offered, is that?
That's a dash seven.
I'm still not sure.
I still don't have one. Unless it's here.
Get one more copying job done, if not.
Does anybody have? Oh, yes, here it is. Dash seven, one page.
One page, dated 4/20/87.
Anybody else got it? Everybody else got it except Senator?
No, I don't. Yeah. Maybe I've got it.
Chair, I move the dash seven amendments.
All right. Senator Hill moves the dash seven amendments to House Bill 2301. Any objection to that? So order then.
What does it do?
It exempts immigration consultants from any possibility of being on all the license. Okay, the chair moves House Bill 2301 to the floor do pass. Oh, unless there's some other amendment somebody's got.
There's some others here in the file. Are they ones that nobody wants? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm open.
There are amendments in the file from various persons who came in to testify against the bill. Mr. Thompson, Attorney Tollefson, who's here, his amendments are contained within his testimony dated April 19th. You have that in your files. Also, Mr. Ackerman, attorney from who testified from Washington, you may recall. And I think his amendments, the Ackerman amendments, are in LC form, I believe.
And for those who have any reservations, the reason I wanted Mr. Reimer's letter to be circulated in red is because I think there was an issue raised as to whether this was some attempt, you know, to bring current common practices under the unlawful practices view. And I gave my personal assurance that that wasn't the intent of the bill, and the bill is not intended to expand at all in any way whatsoever upon what the courts consider the unauthorized practice of law.